We do bless God because He is here this day. And the reason for our coming is to meet Jesus. And if we fail in this, we're failing in everything. And He is here. Praise God. And we bless Him this day. He wants to bless us this day. Now, I'm going to ask that Holly and Patty and Greg and Ken get up and come sit over here.
What, are we lopsided?
You are lopsided. And beside being lopsided, I want you gentlemen to come closer in. I want you to come in. Pat, I want you to come too. The other day at the pastor's meeting, some of the pastors were talking about people who claim their own chairs. And how one lady got bent out of shape because somebody else came and sat in her chair. And it caused bitterness, it caused resentment, and it caused problems that took time to unravel. And I explained to the pastors how many years ago, being aware of that in the pew-oriented type church in which we used to have, everybody claimed their own pew. They sat there all the time. And so one day I asked everybody to get up, as I told the pastors, and I said, I want everybody to get up and go sit somewhere else. And it took time for them to do this, but they did. They all got up, and they like spaghetti, went to where they were going to go. But the purpose was not. But the purpose was spiritual, because by sitting in a different position, they saw me from a different position. They saw things in the sanctuary in a different position. They saw people's heads differently. It removed them from stagnation, and they were able to possibly perceive in a different perspective what God wanted them to understand. Now, during this month, we're going to have 5 teachings on the vine and the branch. And we're going to, Ken, pass this up for me. We're going to be reading in one way or another the sentences from Jesus that come from John chapter 15. I want these just to be burned in your memory so greatly that when you are driving, sitting, resting, eating, even while you're sleeping, God would speak life to you from these words. Thanks. And by spending 5 lessons in this particular subject, branches on the vine, we're going to do reviewing as we go along, because that's how we memorize things as a child, by rote repetition, remember? So I'm going to ask that we each read together individually one of these lines. We're going to start over here with Holly. I want you to read A, and then we're just going to go around, everybody reading just the one that comes to you. Okay, Holly? Yeah.
Cuts off every branch in me and bears no fruit.
While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes.
So that it will be even more fruitful.
You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you.
Okay. And Nancy?
Yes.
It's fine. Okay.
Remain in me and I will remain in you.
God love you.
Amen. Amen. Yes, he does. And you too. And you too. G?
No branch can bear fruit by itself.
It must remain in the vine.
Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me.
And then all together, the rest. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is for my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Vine and branches. If you have not come and gotten one of these vines last Sunday, I want you to come and get one now and find one of these holes and put it in, if you will. The vine is Jesus. The branches are us. And we looked last time we met that the branch must stay in the vine. And you know, every time I have looked at this week as I've come to the office every morning, I've just been impressed with the majesty and the sturdiness and the greatness of the vine. It's given me a whole new concept of my relationship to God. How I may just be one of these little vines, but I'm a branch, but I'm in this vine. And the strength that's in this vine is made available to we who are the branches. We are the branches, and he is the vine. And last time we met, we studied that, and Ken, turn the overlay on, if you will. And let's just review for a minute what we looked at last time. In the Vine Life series, part one, Branches in the Vine, we looked at abiding in me. And the word abide means to remain, continue, or dwell. And Pastor made comment about we've done well with Matthew 11:28, which says what? Does anybody remember? Matthew 11:28, come to me. Well, we've done good to come to him, but now we must stay attached. And then we looked at part two of our first lesson, the two halves make a whole. Read that with me. Without the vine, the branch can do nothing. To the vine, we owe our right of place in the vineyard. Praise God. And then together, without the branch, the vine can do nothing. A vine without branches can bear no fruit. Read that again. A vine without branches can bear no fruit. This vine, Jesus, without these branches, you, he cannot bear fruit. We need the two. So without the vine, the branch does nothing. Without the branch, the vine does nothing. And then, all the vine possesses belongs to the branch. All the branch possesses belongs to the vine. Our reason of existence is to be of service to the vine. For the last five lines, all the vine possesses belongs to the branch, and all that the branch possesses belongs to the vine. Do you see how it interacts together? The vine in the branches. Thanks. Now, today, let's read, if you will, with me, line E. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. This is past tense. You are already clean. So this vine is saying to this branch, you are already clean because of what I did for you on Calvary. It's history. It is past. And because of that, you have a great right standing in me. The manner of our branches in prayer, which is our study today, is based upon the manner, which is line E, you're already clean, and then line P, which is the fruit. And read with me. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. Let's bow and pray. Father God, as we open the Word, we open our hearts to what the Spirit is saying to the church today, what the Spirit is saying to the branches on the vine about prayer. And I ask God that this will be a revelation to us all here and wherever it's being heard, that the relationship that we have to you is so important that we can actually ask for whatever we will, and it will be given to us. The manner is, we have been made clean by the Word. Thank you, Jesus, for the cleansing effect that the power of the blood has drawn from Emmanuel's veins on the cross, which even goes to us this day, at this time. We have been made clean by the Word. And now we're going to remain in the vine as never before, in Jesus' name, amen. The branches in prayer. That line P, which is from the words of Jesus, that if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. The past few weeks I've been reading a book by Andrew Murray, writing around the turn of the century, and he has a lot to say about vine life and about praying, and a lot of the thoughts that I share with you are thoughts that I have gained from his writing. But I've been very impressed with this sentence from Jesus that if you remain in me, then you can, I said if you remain in me, then you can ask in your prayer for different kind of things. With the abiding of Christ, in Christ Jesus, our self is going to be kept down. The more we abide in Jesus, the more our self is going to be kept down. Our thoughts and the wishes that we in the natural have will be in captivity to the thoughts and the wishes of Jesus. So the vine wishes are in the branches, and the branch wishes are in the vine. Now, I'd like for you to see four things in passing. One, questions, reasonings, answers, and methods, all based upon this sentence from Jesus. Have any of you prayed for anything and not got the answer and asked a question? Who among us have not asked in prayer for something and did not get an answer? And whether we were praying for a serious thing or any answer we wanted or any answer.
We've all gotten answers.
Right, exactly. But not the answer we wanted. Right. And whether in our praying has to do with spiritual things, deep things, or frivolous things, or whatever, we all have gone to the Father in prayer. We as branches have gone to the vine, but maybe not with this kind of a concept. We've asked questions. Why haven't we seen the answers to our prayers? Why haven't we seen answers to our prayers? Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now, this is the law of the kingdom. The law of the kingdom, and the law of the kingdom, man, is whatever our asking is to the Father, he will give it to us. But the law of the kingdom is based upon faith. We've got to have faith, and we've got to be really adhering ourselves to Jesus and to his life. Faith rests upon and is rooted in the Word, but most of our lives are not rooted in the Word, but they're rooted in the world. You see the difference? We are rooting our lives not in the Word of God, but we're rooting our lives into the world, and that is where we are getting derailed. That's where we are causing problems with ourselves. So we've all asked the questions. And the second thing is, what about the reasons? Why is it that when we have prayed that this house would be full this week, it's not full? Why is it when you pray for people's salvation, you don't see it? Why is it, what are the reasons involved in not getting what we are asking for according to the will of God? And on the pastor's tape catalog, there are some sermons under prayer, and I looked last week and there were two in there. One sermon said, some reasons why some prayers are not answered. And the other sermon was, four reasons why prayers are not answered, in which I listed some reasons why prayers are not answered. But not in all of the thousands of sermons that I have presented to you have I ever stated this reason why a prayer is not answered. I've listed many other reasons. In fact, we need to look at some of the reasons prayers are not answered, because this is really important. Number one, refusing to humble yourself, the Bible says, is the reason why God may not answer your prayer. The Bible says if you forsake God, he will not answer your prayer. If you provoke God, he will not answer your prayer. The Bible says that if your heart is hard. In fact, let's turn to Proverbs 21, verse 3. You pray and are not getting answers. Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 21, verse 13, if a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. So this is one reason why prayers are not answered. It's hard-heartedness. You shut your ears to the cry of the poor, then God says, I'm not going to hear you when you cry out. Wrong motives. James speaks about the wrong motives. You pray for things and you don't get them because you ask for the wrong motives, or the word is you ask amiss. That's the reason why some of our prayers are not being answered. Worry and anxiety, the scripture says, is another reason why prayers are not answered. Sin, James says, is another reason why prayers are not answered. And then what about Psalm 66, verse 18? Psalm 66, verse 18. Another reason why some prayers are not answered. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Okay, the sin, and cherished that sin in our heart, then the Lord would not answer. Look at Isaiah 59, verse 2. Isaiah 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So the relationship between you and God is very, very important in the answering of our prayers. Unbelief is another reason why some prayers are not answered. And then for you men, I've got to read 1 Peter verse 7 of chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Black and white, people. The relationship between husband and wife is important. And if it's not as it should be, it says here, God's not going to hear your prayers. So that's pretty blunt, and it's pretty black and white for God. These are some reasons. These are some reasons. But never in the thousands of sermons have I ever listed the reason that we're listening today in this lesson about vine branch, the branch in prayer. And that is the sentence that Jesus says, which is on line P, if you remain in me. Now this is the reason. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. So clearly the answer is this. It's abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ. Glorifying Christ's name. And for the glory of God, it says. So this should not make us afraid, people, to pray and to entertain a wish that it may not be for the glory of God. It shouldn't make us afraid. It should actually help us to evaluate how we are praying. Because God is never going to refuse an answer to his son Jesus. God will always give Jesus his answer. So if Jesus is the mediator between us and God, and we go to God in Jesus' name and for his glory, then the Father will not refuse an answer to us. If you abide in me, and that abiding with him is so close that his thoughts are your thoughts and his ways are your ways, and everything is just tied together so close. In fact, that's what he said. If you remain in me, if you don't remain in me, then, you know, you can't expect so many things to happen. So we have full command at the disposal of our praying. Full command. Nothing will be denied us. If, as we pray for it, it'll come through Jesus according to his glory. And, of course, the secret is the prayer. That has a prayer of faith. We've got to have faith, because if we don't have faith in praying, well, that severs right away our abiding in Christ. It severs it. But without the faith, he can't answer. Now, I noticed the words in Mark 11. I would like you to turn to that, and we'll take time for all of you to turn to Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Mark 11, 24. And it's very close to what we're talking about in John's writings. But in Mark's account, he says in verse 24, chapter 11, therefore I tell you, he says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, it will be yours. Now that's very similar to what we just read in John's account, where he said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask what you wish and it will be given you. So here he says, whatever you ask, well, just look at the words. First of all, he says, whatever. That means... Exactly. What does whatever mean except whatever? Whatever. Just think for a moment. We're talking about whatever. Whatever. It says here. Whatever you ask. Look at the word ask. A lot of people in their hearts have that desire, but they've never vocalized it out of their lips to God. They've never told God about it. And if you never tell God about something, it's not that he doesn't know, but it's true that he will not always respond to you like you want to, because he is waiting for you to tell him what you want. You know, a child can want certain things, and the parent may never ever know unless the child asks. So it's whatsoever, that's the desire that you have to ask. So there are times when a parent knows what a child wants, but the scripture says that we are to ask. Now that is vocalizing what is in our heart through our lips to God, or through our mind praying to God. So whatever, the first word. The second word is ask, and then the next word is prayer. Whatever you ask for in prayer, prayer is that talking with God. You have to do that, people. And then the next word, believe. And what's another word for belief except for, starts with an F? You have faith. You've got to have faith. So whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. And this last phrase about have received it, it's not new to our fellowship, because we are speaking into being the things that we don't even see. And that is, it says, you believe that you've got it. You've already received it. So what we read about just then in Mark chapter 11 is very, very close to what we read in John when he says, if you remain in me, my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So the boldness that we have in prayer because of the vine life is that I can say, Jesus, it says in the Word, that if I abide in you with this little flimsy branch, I can accept the strength of this vine, I can accept the nutrients of the vine, I can receive all the sap, I can receive all I need if I stay in you. And if I stay attached to you, then all of the grace and beauty and glory of the vine comes out into the vine. And that's why we are who we are. We are supposed to show forth the loveliness of God, because we are the branches. There are different kind of branches here, because there are different kind of people here. And they're all different. But we are staying attached to the vine. Now here's what we're looking at. We're talking about answers. We've talked about the question. We've talked about the reasons. Now the answer is just to abide in Christ. And so when you abide in Christ, the full command is given you. And that pretty excites me to know that I can ask for anything according to the will of God, because see, that's my praying is not for the Mercedes, but I am praying for the glory of God in different areas and in different things that I may have, for example. And that means that if it's going to glorify God with the vine life the way it is, Jesus, he's at the right hand of God right now, will present that to the Father. That's what Jesus does. So when I'm praying, I'm saying, God, please bless John Doe, then Jesus takes that prayer and he presents that prayer to God. I am praying in Jesus' name, because I am praying something that Jesus would want and that the God would want. So the two work right together. We are praying for what God wants for the glory of God. Now, the method is very simple. The method is very simple. It says, you abide in me and my words abide in you. Come here. You abide in me and my words abide in you. then you can ask. Do you see the two things there? If you abide in Him, that's remaining in Him, you can ask anything. But He says in this sentence that if my words remain in you. Now, the Word of God prepares us for the praying to God. The Word of God prepares me in my prayer life to ask according to the will of God the things that would be for God's glory. So the Word is important. It says here that if my words remain in you. And again, we've been excusing our prayers not being answered for all kind of feeble reasons, the whole list of reasons, but it's very clear that the feeble prayers are because not abiding in Christ and not having the Word of God remaining in us. So how do you abide in Him? How do you have the Word in you? Because it says right there, and read with me line P, if you will. We need to burn this into our being. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. You see the two things there? You remain and His words are in us. So that sort of tells me that, hey, I don't want you anymore. You know, I can remove myself from that vine anytime I want to. Now, Satan's always trying to cut me off from the vine. And you know, he's trying to cut you off from the vine too. But we can come to a point where, and we're not, where we're saying that we're still a Christian, but we're not going to abide. Oh, I'm getting hungry now. I better go back to Jesus. We have this ability to vacillate back and forth and still be a Christian. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about relationships. And God says through His Word that if you remain in me. So how do we remain in the vine? Well, it's pretty easy. It's easy to say and harder to do, obviously. But one is that we love Him. We love Him. That's how you remain in the vine. As a branch, you love Him. Secondly, you praise Him. He loves to be praised. Who among us does not want to be praised for doing something that you've done? You do a job well, and you like somebody to say, well, it looks good. And some people have to go and ask others to praise them. You know, did you see what I did? And then they want that praise. One lady in our church years ago cleaned the bathroom exceedingly well, and when her husband came home, she told me that she went to him and he had walked into the bathroom and he left and there was no praise. So she said, did you see how I cleaned this and did that? And she was, come on, I need. And Jesus tells us in His Word that God needs, now does that sound strange to you? God needs you to tell Him that you love Him. God needs you to tell Him to give Him praise, because that is something that we've been created for. And it's not being sacrilegious, but God wants you to praise Him. What have we done this morning in our songs? We have praised Him. Praise Him, all you little children. God is love, God is love. So love Him, praise Him, keeps you in the vine. And then you might want to talk to Him too, a little bit. Because as you talk to Him, it keeps it going together. If you don't talk to Him, it's like taking the pruning knife and whacking off the relationship. You need to talk to Him. So we've got love Him, praise Him, talk to Him. And then we've got to share Him. Because when you share Him, there is something that happens within you. Not just as a blessing to somebody else, but something happens to you when you share somebody else. It's like siphoning water from one container to another. You siphon the water out, and the water is getting to another container, but it's going through you, and you're being blessed, the other person's being blessed. We need to share Jesus all we can. And this morning you shared Jesus with the gentleman that was here who could not speak English, but he could understand the smile. He could understand when he wanted to leave. I said, no, you know, stay. He could understand that. And he felt the love, and he felt the Spirit of God. We share Him. So the Scripture says that if you want to pray and have prayers answered, first of all, you remain in me, and then the Word remains in you. Now, how does the Word remain in you other than reading your Bible? You know, How often do I have to say this? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. I wouldn't even want to embarrass any of you, but just answer the question, did you read your Bible yesterday? Or did you read your Bible last week? Are you reading your Bible? This is the way the Scripture says, if my Word remains in you. So daily reading it is keeping the Word in you, and the Bible says that if my Word is in you, then you can ask for anything you wish, and it will be given to you. So reading the Word, memorizing the Word. Could you stand up right now and give me a scripture from the Word of God? Probably you could. But if we went around the room maybe two times or three times, it may slow. We may lose a few people. And then if we went around four times, we may just have one left in the spelling bee. Memorize the Word of God. Why is it important to memorize the Word of God? Because it's in you. And then you can call it forth. Daily reading your Bible, memorize it, and then meditate on the Scripture. And that is something that I'm trusting that we will all do more of. I'm doing more of that. Just pick out a scripture, one little line, and read it, and then just sit back and meditate upon that one sentence. Or read a paragraph, or read a story, and just meditate upon it. The Scripture says that if my Word remains in you, that's one way, by meditating upon it. And then the other thing is just to take it with you. To take it with you. I've been carrying my New Testament with me. I haven't done that for years and years and past years. And I've been carrying my New Testament with me. People, you can carry your Bible with you in America. You can put it in your purse and hide it. Or you could get a small testament and put it in your pocket. You can do that, you know, and you will not be arrested. Take the Word of God with you. In fact, this is the Word of God right here. You could fold it up before nobody would even see it. And you could put it in your pocket. And you could take it with you. And then when you come to a red light in the big city, or even at the end of our city, you might want to take it out and read one or two verses. While you're waiting for an appointment, you could take out the Word of God and read. I think I'll read this. If you remain in me, now this is God talking to me. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Remain in the Word of God. So I say, in conclusion, the sentence that I read from this book by Andrew Murray, he says, are you mourning your lack of prayer, your lack of power in prayer? Come, listen to the Lord as he tells you, only be a branch united to, identified with the heavenly vine, and your prayers will be effectual and much rewarding. So what I say to us all today is, live the branch life in prayer. Let's stand and do that, may we?